Okay, here we go. So this is lesson number 13. The title is The Sufferings of Christ and Sufferings for Christ. Today is February the 6th, 2022. What we're going to do this morning is, first of all, I sent out some maps, so we'll be using that here shortly. But my real goal here, as it seems to change in my mind weekly, is presently what we're doing is going through the Acts period and the Acts epistles and learning about this issue of suffering, and particularly through the eyes of the Apostle Paul. And I think he reached some heights that none of us will ever see when it comes to suffering and having to handle things. There's different aspects of that word that we're going to be looking at. And what I'm going to do this week is deal with the issue of anxiety. Just when I say deal with it, we're going to look at a quick word study of anxiety, because that certainly is on the list of things that a person who is a believer deals with. And if you're never anxious, I would really like to for you to hold up your hand and you can take over the study and finish it for me, because you know, this is stuff seriously can be a daily thing. And the Lord understands that. The Lord himself went through anguish and anxiety, and I think that's worthy of our notation here as we look at some of those things. But furthermore, I'm kind of looking forward to, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we're going to get into 2 Corinthians. And if you know anything about 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, which I would say very little, I do very little. In all my years, I don't think I did a study on a series of studies on Corinthians. But 2 Corinthians, it's interesting, compared to the 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is a lot easier to understand, the scholars will admit. And the second one gets a little muddy because of part of it has to do with the English language and what we look at. But it's just the way that particular book is. And what it is it shows us the real Paul. We're going to see him in his weaknesses and on and on. And it's a super lesson, I think, to us, because that's my goal, is to be able to handle anything that comes at me. And that's not the case necessarily. And he went through a lot. And that was at the Lord's own intention when he was called for that, as we all remember back in Acts chapter 9. He was called for Christ's sake. He was to suffer for the sake of Christ. And so I think most of us are aware that he cried out. He had a thorn in the flesh, and how he cried out to the Lord 3 times for that, and the Lord said, "Nope, my grace is sufficient." And that's where I want to be. That's where I want to go, and that's to know the all sufficiency of his grace, and for whatever we are, the cards we are dealt in our life, so to speak. Is what we're interested in. So in the near future, I'm going to work up to that. So the other thing I want to kind of emphasize is that this lesson, if we get through it, will also, one of the things we're doing is we're going through not only the epistles, and we're not doing the entire epistles, every single verse in each one of them, but along with the Acts book, because they complement each other, the book of Acts, in that we, a lot of the things we understand, we'll need to understand, will be because the Lord put it in 2 different locations, and we got to bring it together and understand it. So that's going to be part of what we're going to do this morning too. Last week we looked at Galatians 14, and it's interesting how many times you can read a verse in your life and never see something until the Lord says it's time for you to understand this. And so I was going back through a couple of things, and what we did two weeks ago, what we did in the book of Galatians, and I looked at the names of the cities that Paul went to in Galatia, and and went back through them carefully, because when you're reading, you just read away. Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and so forth. And I noticed, hey, there's something to this, that there's only these are used in this particular verse, and this other city's in this verse. And then when I go all the way back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 onward, Paul reminds Timothy way back in his early ministry with Paul, way back then is when Paul went to Galatia, and while he was there, that's where he met Timothy and brought him into this picture. And he doesn't mention all those cities. He mentions the ones that gave him trouble. And so that kind of got my head spinning a little bit. I thought, okay, well, let's check this out. And then I started looking at the cities of Galatia. And if you have those maps that I sent you, if you compare Galatians 2 and, well, we have three, not Galatians, we have three maps here. The first map shows you a close-up of his first journey. And if you can read that map, you're looking at primarily the area of Galatia. And if you look up, if you're looking at that map, up in the left-hand corner, so to speak, if you come across about an inch and a half, if you're looking at this on an 8.5 by 11 paper, you can barely see the word Galatia in there. Does anybody see that? Okay. So, is that a yes or no? I'm looking at my audience here. Okay.
The top left.
Yeah, so it's going up on an angle up to the right. So there's Galatia. But if you look down, you'll see these cities that are named. And that happens to be, and there's a long story there. We can look at that at some point in time, that Sir Ramsey that did some research there. And he, and these cities, you'll see Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia. Those are the three or the four cities we're going to look at when you read Acts chapter 14. And that is in the lower part of Galatia. And the long story short, there is one who gave proof that that's the case. So it's only been in the last 30, 40 years that it's this map is acceptable. Before this, those cities that I just spoke about would not be in Galatia. But that's not the case. They do belong to Galatia. If you look at the second missionary journey number 2, now you're getting a bigger scene here. And kind of right in the middle, there's this pink color, which is Asia. And just to the right of that is Galatia in the orange. And you also see Lycaonia and Pisidia and Pamphylia and some others in that yellow. But if you go up, if you follow the red arrow, you'll see Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch in Pisidia. If you go to the third one, this was something that caught my attention. If you go to the third map, the third missionary journey, Paul begins in Antioch, which is there at the top of Syria, and you follow the red line, it goes through Cilicia in the pink, and there's the orange again, and there you see the big Galatia written across that one. So once again, in his third journey, he stops at Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Now what does that tell me? He's gone there three times in the book of Luke. And, usually when I think of Galatia, I think of the book of Galatians, and it gets a bad rapport because those people were anti a lot of the stuff Paul was saying, and they couldn't let go of the law and so forth and understand that Christ is the all. He is everything. And that was an issue. And so Paul had great resistance. If you remember last week when we looked at chapter 14, and if you look at that first journey that he has there, that's what we were talking about two weeks ago, this little issue, and then the skirmish that he runs to, and not only that, he is stoned to death. And whether that's he was stoned nigh unto death, it doesn't say, but it just says he rose up from it. And so as we go through the book of Acts on the sideline here, we'll see how these things come together, and we'll see what Paul understood and how he grows. I think we can see some growth in this. But I never took to mind that there were three trips that Paul, you know, he was taking a trip to Asia or whatever, but on his way he stopped off into these countries. And you don't find anything, I don't find anything negative there. He goes to the brethren there and reassures them, and they're rebuilt and so forth in, you know, two occasions there. And generally, like I say, when I think of the book of Galatians, it's kind of a negative thing because of what happens. It appears to me that Paul was successful in many ways in those particular cities and so forth. And I believe that helps me kind of come close to understanding when the book of Galatians was written. And that was, if you read chapter 14 and you read Acts and that you read the problems that he had there, and then the next thing that occurs is that there are Judaizers who go to Paul, or go up to Antioch, where Paul was at that time, not Antioch Pisidia, but Antioch over in above Syria. If you look at Syria on a map, you'll see Antioch. I'm looking at the third journey. So all the way to the far right, the orange, there's Syria, which is northern Israel, or northern part of Israel. Anyway, there's Antioch kind of right in the middle of that, or at the end of that, that area there, Syria. That's the Antioch that Paul went back to. And it is there that certain Judaizers came up to him, and that's as a result of that. And they were dealing, and they were, let's read it. Don't listen to me jumble here. Just a few quick verses here. Acts chapter 15, the first three verses. And certain men, let me give you a chance to get there. Acts 15:1. This is right after Paul had finished in with Galatia, and it appears to be successful. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, so that's northern Israel, the brethren, and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now what's the big argument in the book of Galatians? This very thing. So these were Judeans, and the word, I think, is spreading around, and they've got an issue here. And they say, you have to be circumcised, and after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. And when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles and elders about this question. So that council that you see there in Acts chapter 15 is primarily about this very subject. And it is somewhere right in this area. Personally, I'm seeing this is possibly where the book of Galatians was written. And maybe I'm going to get ahead of myself here. I'm going to not abide by the rules that I just announced. If you go to chapter 16, so they have this council meeting and they come to a conclusion that, hey, Paul and Barnabas, they've got their ministry and what they're saying is correct. And hey, Peter, remember, he's already opened the door to the Gentiles. And then they finally decide that, okay, we're going to put four things upon the Gentiles, and which we read of the verse 19. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So here's what was sent out. And you'll see that Paul took a letter in chapter 16 in his pocket, so to speak, and headed off to, he's with, initially with Barnabas, and you know, they get into a little argument there, and he says, let's go visit the cities we've already seen. Well, that's Galatia. And so when you look at those first six verses of Acts chapter 16, we'll do that in a minute, you look at these six verses, where does Paul go? Derbe and Lystra. And you read on a little bit further, Lystra and Iconium in verse 2. So we got these cities coming up, and I'm not seeing any resistance here. And they deliver that letter. And so what I'm suggesting here, possibly, is that Galatia somehow got written in between 14 and 16. You'll notice that in the things we read about the four different things that they were to tell the Gentiles, that, and then when you read Galatians, I think it's chapter 2, it talks about how they had a meeting themselves. It's not referring to this one in particular. If it is, it's definitely not similar issues there. But one of the issues there that Paul says that they had reasoned amongst themselves there, and that they accepted the fact that Paul was the apostle of the non-circumcision, and that he was to give one thing, and that was to be good to the poor people. Didn't say anything about this meeting, didn't say anything about those four things, but they told Paul, when you go on your ministry, make sure you take care of the poor. So there's a question mark here. Had Paul already written that letter? Possibly, I don't know. It's not worthy of a big argument and getting all upset with each other. But it begins to show me that, hey, this opened the door, because Paul goes on two more journeys there, and I don't see any negative resistance there. So anyway, we'll look at that, I believe, in a few minutes, if we can get to it. What I'm going to do right now is do a little word study about anxiety here. And it may be at the wrong place and time, I don't know. But it bothers me because of two things. I'm going to give you two verses that sound contradicting. We start with Philippians chapter 4, the verse that everybody knows. And we read in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So here we have a very strong statement that says, don't be anxious at all. Now, once again, if anybody there is one who's doesn't have some form of anxiety probably every day, raise your hand. You can take over right now, because I'm failing the test when I read these kind of things. Now, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So, as I said, one of our goals is to get to 2 Corinthians, because it's packed with stuff that Paul had to go through that we don't think about. I mean, he got beat up several times. He was in debt often, he said. He talks about a lot of things that happened to him. And you'll read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You'll read a long list of things. And we're going to get to that over time here in the next, hopefully, few weeks. But I'm going to read, let's just read part of that list. Let's start in I'm going to say 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience. I'm in 2 Corinthians 12, 12. I'll make sure that's what I just said. Is that what I told you to read? Okay, so that's a mess. It's a good thing I stopped and checked it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm sorry. Verse 20, is this right? Yeah, okay, we're going to start in verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. There's a difference between stripes and the rods. And we'll possibly see one today if we get that far. That was in Philippi when Paul and who was it that was with him there? That anyway, they went before the Philippians and caused a lot of ruckus, and they received a lot of stripes from it. And I believe in that case it had to do with rods. Anyway, it's a different type of punishment. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, waters, in perils of robbers. You ever think about all the traveling Paul did? And if you look on one of the maps, I think it's number 2, and look across the top, follow the red line across the top, there's a major highway. It's called the, I can't read it, too small. It's anyway. There's an example. You look at all these lines. Paul did by foot, and there were robbers there. I mean, this was common in that day. So he had seen many robbers on the path. by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness. Listen, these are just the list of the words that he's using to describe it. That's what we're interested in. There's so much here. In hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things, after all of those things he's listed, what does he say? Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the anxiety of all the churches. Exact same word Paul uses over there. So, here's the question. Can I be anxious for nothing and yet be anxious for the churches? In Paul's question, or Paul, it wasn't a question here, but that's my question. So let's take a brief look here at a little short word study about anxiety. And we're going to track that too as we go through future studies, track it along with it. In Matthew chapter 6, 25, and I hope I'm not distracting you from what we're trying to accomplish here by taking off of or going down a different pathway here, looking at a whole different subject, so to speak, but it'll eventually join back on the pathway that we're looking at in total. So in Matthew chapter 6, I might read the first verse of chapter 5, verse 1, we read this, and seeing the multitude, speaking of the Lord, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. And so, essentially, this is what we call the Beatitudes. And essentially, who is it written to? Who did he speak to here? What did I just read? Well, the multitudes, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. So these were followers of Christ, not just the 12. These were followers of Christ. Yet the multitudes were there hearing this also. But this kind of tells us that his main message is to everybody here, but indeed to those who are disciples. And so that's the first part of his ministry. This is early in his ministry. He's going to change some things along the way in the book of Matthew. But let's go to 6:25. Here's some things that brings our attention to anxiety. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. The word thought here is anxiety. Don't be anxious for your life. Really? That's what he says. That's something that is going to be real. And then, by the way, we're dealing with the kingdom of God in this particular time period here as we look in the Gospels. So this is something that's going to be new to these people. Take no anxiety. Don't be anxious for your life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet your body, what you shall put on, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought, which of you by being anxious can add one cubit unto his stature? So here's a figure of speech he used. If you do anything, what are you going to accomplish at all by being anxious over something? And these are certainly good things for us too. Let's not misunderstand what I'm saying here. And why take ye thought for raiment? Why are you anxious? Why would you be anxious about your clothes? Especially in the year 2020 when we got all these nice places to buy clothes. And never mind. I'm smiling here. Oh, 2022. Well, it's been there since 2020, just sitting dry for a couple of months. Couple of years. Anyway, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field with which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what whither all shall we be clothed? Shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Take therefore, don't be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Each day has its own has enough trouble in itself. So tomorrow is going to be the same thing. So here we see the first passage of scripture that deals with anxiety. And it's what's going to be interesting as you go through the book of Matthew, it's the anxiety is going to become even more so as opposed to walking by faith and so forth here. But most of these people will not engage in the things that he has spoken here. And anyway, let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 and 19. I think I'm going to spend too much time on these verses, but there's some good ones coming. So these were what I would say is true, that the things that we just read were true. We shouldn't put things in front of us above the things of the Lord. I mean, everything comes down to what are you doing with your life and the life that belongs to the Lord. So in chapter 10, let me see which one this is. Starting in verse 16. Behold, so he's speaking to his disciples. He gathered the 12 disciples this time. He said, behold, so this is Matthew 10. This is four chapters later than what we just read. And things are changing a little bit. The Lord's getting serious because these people, he's done a lot of miracles. The country or the nation of Israel is great, or they think it's great that they see these things happening, but it doesn't mean anything to them. And so we're beginning to, the Lord's going to start sifting a little bit, if we can call it that. He says, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Verse 16, be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And I'm going to make sure I know which verse we're reading here. And ye shall be brought before governors, kings, for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, don't be anxious how or what ye shall speak. Well, I like that one. I wish I could handle that one myself. When ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. So, here is anxiety against, or he says not to have, be anxious over this because the Spirit is going to give you the words to speak. So here's another good one, shall we say. So I'm not going to find fault with the anxiety and so forth as much as these that I read in particular, because there's an answer to it. So let's go to, let me see, I'm concerned about our time here. Let's try Luke chapter 10, or is it chapter 11? Let's try 10:38 first. Chapter 10. I think I'm going to step aside from some of these and read on, because there's the ones should mean more to us. So I said, Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, verse 38. See if this is right. Okay. Yeah. Most of the women like this one. Now it passed as they went that he entered into a certain village, speaking of the Lord, and a certain woman named Martha received him to her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So I'll leave that one as I think it's pretty obvious as to what's going on there. It's a message to all of us when it comes to anxiety, though. And that is, there's something that's really important. And that's the Lord and His Word and what He's doing and what He's accomplishing. That's where our attention should be. I'm going to skip over some. There's 1 Corinthians 7, 32. Luke 8, 14. Let's go to Philippians. Yeah, we'll just do a few more here. Philippians chapter 2. So this is where we started. Philippians chapter 4. And Paul's going to tell us, in one verse that we're to be anxious for nothing. And then he's going to show us in this other verse, in chapter 2 of Philippians, that maybe it's not so bad after all, if it's for the right reason. So Philippians 2, and let's begin in verse, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for you. That is, genuinely be anxious for you. Now we have, this could be a bad thing, but he's explaining it to us in the manner that this is a good thing. This is the way we should be about this word that we're reading right now. This is the way we should be when it comes to everyday life and things that are spiritual. And it's certainly positive here. He says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ, but ye know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. So I think over this period of time we go through this particular, go through the epistles and the Acts period, we're going to see Timothy's name pop up a lot more than you might imagine. He was something very special to Paul. But I'm going to read on. Let's finish out this chapter. We won't see the word again, but we will see how this is borne out. He says, where did I stop here? Verse 24, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness. Now this word heaviness is not the same word we read when we read the word care, but it does bring to our mind anguish. And so it's a form of anxiety. Let me find it here. Heaviness. So anxious, distressed, anguished. That's that word. But once again, it's a different in the Greek form. So I think this is something we can certainly add to our list. And that, so he says, I'll read that again. Verse 26. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, full of anguish, because that he had heard that he had been sick, because you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. This is how serious he took these people. Now as we go through the Acts books and or Book of Acts, and we go through these epistles and so forth, you're going to read a lot of verses that you put your shoe in Paul's place, you wouldn't even come close to agreeing with him. You'd say, forget it. If they're going to treat me like that, why would I do this? Paul was able to go beyond that, and really, if you read that Second Timothy and you understand it, that in itself is going to be a treat, but it's just almost unbelievable, and this is the way
and I'll say it this way. I don't know if the Lord has called everybody out to, no, he hasn't called everybody to do, go through what the Apostle Paul does. But what you're going to see through the Apostle Paul, here's evidence right here. As a result of himself, he's got Timothy and Epaphroditus who are much like him. That's what they have learned over the years. The issue here, what we're concerned with, is that we're confronted with stuff daily and so forth, and we need to learn how to handle it. And in this particular case, they learn it by dealing with it daily, and they had someone to lead them. And you're going to see in the very first chapter of Corinthians 10 or 2. I'm going to read this. I'm not going to read it. Yeah, I'm going to read the first few verses, and I'll point you out something here. Let's read verse 3 of chapter 2, verse 3, chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Now the word comfort here in the English, if you break that down, you got a suffix and you got the word com, which having things in common or togetherness, and fort. You know what a fort is? It is a structure of great strength and security and so forth. So this is the word that is being used here. And in the Greek, it's parakaleo, which means to be at one side. And it probably makes more sense if this word means encouraging or strength. It has that idea. So it's not merely comfort. You know, when you comfort somebody and you tell them what they want to hear and da-da-da and makes them feel better, that's not even what he's talking about here. This is about strength. You as an individual are going to face certain things in your life that you don't have a clue to where you're going to get the strength to bear it. And I think many of you have passed through that many times in your life. And so here I'm not going to read this whole passage, but you're going to read, I think, 12 times this word comfort in just a few verses. And there's three entities here. There's God and his comfort. There's Paul, and as a result of what he's doing and those other apostles and so forth were doing, they brought forth this strength, which came from God, and they passed it on to the third entity, which was these Corinthian believers. So we'll see all that in just, I don't know, 12 verses here, something like that. And I believe 12 times you'll see that one word used. So it's an important word. And now I forget why I went over to that particular passage, but you know, I think it had to do with Epaphroditus. So anyway, having said that, let me finish these few verses in Philippians 2. He says, I sent him therefore the more carefully, speaking of Epaphroditus, when ye see him again, ye may rejoice and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was near unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. So those that we speak of anxiety, of the anxiety that is okay, is not bad. And these are some very strong statements and far beyond my personal grasp to be able to muster up within me. This has to come from some other source, and it does. It comes from the Lord Christ Jesus himself. So we have a positive thing to look forward to here when we deal with this word anxiety. So, having said that, that's a kind of a side issue that we're going to be addressing, I believe, as we go through these studies. I'm going to do real quickly, and I don't have much time here. What I did was I took and printed out all these verses that had to do with chapter 14 and all the cities, and then I yellowed out cities and I blew out comments and da da da. And I'll do this kind of quickly so that you won't be turning to these passages. But let me put it this way. There's some problems we're going to find there in Galatia. And I believe those people that Paul had a problem with were the ones who were the troublemakers in, when we read the book of Galatians. That is to say, the attitude they had was passed on to others when it came to the law and the faithfulness of Christ. And so the first passage, this is in chapter 14. The first place they go to, they're in Antioch, by the way, in Pisidia. And you remember Paul gives a long dissertation, and then the Gentiles say, hey, we want to hear more next Sabbath, and so on and so forth. And that was in Antioch. And it says, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews, so here's a bad thing. The Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. So they were at Antioch. So there's one of the cities. This is where it started. And they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. So you might want to look at that on your first journey map. It gives you an idea of where Paul, what Paul did, where he went, so forth. And he's starting over in Antioch of Pisidia. This is that first journey, Paul's first journey. And over on the left side of the sheet. And then he moves to the right. He's going west to Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. I'll just say this without reading all these verses. This is where the trouble started, in Iconium. And so they finally move on. He says, verse 6 of chapter 14, and when they were aware of it, they fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and to the region. So you read good things happen in Lystra and Derbe, and there was a man who was impotent in his feet, and remember, Paul healed him, or the Lord healed him through the Apostle Paul. And you remember the people went out against him and said, they're some of the gods. There's Jupiter, there's Mercury, and so forth. And Paul jumps up and says, no, this has nothing to do with me, da, 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 da. Well, anyway, it made a great uproar. And so Lystra and Derbe now are two positive cities. But here's what happened. Verse 19, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So here's the negative thing. So really, this is Antioch and Iconium. So far, we've got Lystra is a little responsible for that because they allowed that to come into the place. So if you read on, it says, the next day, Barnabas and Paul departed to Derbe. Now, this one's kind of important, and let me kind of sum it up because of time here. We're going to see that Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch are the bad cities, so to speak. Lystra wasn't as bad, but this is where all the trouble came from. And so when you go over to, I'm going to go way over to 2 Timothy. You remember Timothy was really close to Paul. So Paul writes him a letter. We're going to find this is going to be similar to, it's going to be in a very important letter, just like 2 Corinthians, in that Paul is, I'm still getting there. Paul speaks a lot about his sufferings and so forth there. But in 2 Timothy 2, we've read this before, verses 10, here's what we read. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. So he's reminding Timothy of all this, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. He left one out. Wait a minute, Paul, what about Derbe? Derbe was clean. So Paul is reminding Timothy of these things. I'm only just mentioning this because this stands out from all these other verses. And I don't have time to read all these other verses, but we'll jump real quick to Acts chapter 16. And notice what happens here. Once again, Paul goes back through. I'll tell you this. I'll give you the scripture. In Acts chapter... So in Acts chapter 16, the first six verses, we'll probably start with this next week. It begins here that we read, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. So this is after chapter 15. This is Barnabas and Paul. And remember, Barnabas wanted to take Mark, and Mark didn't go. So now he's got Silas with him. He comes to Derbe, and behold, a certain disciple there named Timotheus, Derbe and Lystra. And if you want to know which of the two he's from, read up in Acts 20, verse 4. And when Paul was going into Asia, it says, they're accompanying him into Asia, Sopater, Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus. So he was from Derbe. Derbe was the town that wasn't the bad guys, if we can put it that way. So what I'm suggesting here is if you search through, here we have the book of Galatians, negative, got a lot of negative to it, and Paul goes back to these towns in his second and third journeys and goes through and sees the people, those who were discipled and who believed, and what does it say here? As he went through the city, he delivered them the decrees. He delivers them the decrees in chapter 16, the ones that we talked about in chapter 15. And anyway, it says, and so we're, this is what it says about him. When he goes back through these nations, he doesn't give us who he spent time with, the things that happened, but he says this, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Things are getting good in Galatia. So something actually worked. That tells me that Paul didn't have to write Galatians after this point. He could have written it beforehand, and I believe that letter helped with this issue. And then finally, in chapter 18, his third journey, if you look in the third journey, you see it. It says he went down to Antioch. After he'd spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia, in order, strengthening all the disciples. So we hear from that point on nothing but positivity, if we can call it that, of Paul and the ministry. So there's good things happening in that ministry. And I think Paul had a lot to do with it with his letter and so forth. So, okay, I've went over my time. I'm going to stop there. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll pick some of this stuff up next week. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to you for this wonderful word of yours, for what you represent, for your surety, how that you will stand behind your word and how you will treat us. And we ask that you open our minds and our understanding to how wonderful that is to be able to be dependent, totally dependent upon you and the things we do in our life. Thank you for these passages of scripture that have value to us. Ask your hand. Thank you also for the saints who are here with us this morning, and once again remind you of those who might be ill or who are in some great need. And we put that into your hands and ask this in the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen.